The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Now, it has to be difficult to carry on a parent's legacy. It has to be particularly difficult to carry on a parent's legacy when that involves one of the most beloved plot lines in fiction and one of the most beloved characters, that being George Smiley in British fiction. I say British fiction, probably technically now Irish fiction, but we can get into the subtleties of nationhood in a minute. The author who has this difficult job is Nick Harkaway. His dad was John Le Carré, and his latest book is Carla's Choice, described as a John Le Carré novel, though obviously from the pen and or keyboard of Nick Harkaway. Nick, good morning.
Good morning.
That's a lot of pressure, Nick.
It is. It is a little bit, yes.
You have, I was thinking about this. It's one thing to say, okay, I need to emulate the plot. It's another to say I have to stay true to the character. It's another to say I have to emulate plot type, stay true to character, and blend prose to match with the kind of prose that people are familiar with. How do you do all of that?
Well, happily, it all comes out of the same place because you've got to go into the Smiley world, into the world of the circus. And it's actually, there's another thing you've got to do, which is get to 1963. But fortunately, they're all the same thing. We're visiting the characters who make up the world. We're visiting the space of the circus, that melancholic Cold War, kind of everyone's in the shadows, kind of feeling. And actually, so much of it is about just making it feel right.
But your dad had the advantage of having worked in the service for some time and therefore being in the belly of the beast. And your dad had the advantage of being around in the 60s. You have neither of those.
That is true. Although what I do have is that when he was writing the Smiley novels in the 70s, I was born in 1972, and he'd read them to my mum every morning, as he was writing them across the breakfast table. So when I was acquiring language, learning to speak, I was getting about 90 minutes of Smiley every day.
Is that what he would do? He would write a section, and before the book was finished, he'd read it to your mum?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because they worked together. So he would write it by hand, and then cut and paste was literally a pair of scissors. And they'd sort of work off each other. She would type and hand it back to him. He'd then edit on the typed page and read that out loud to see if it worked and so on. So it was a very complexly interwoven process between the two of them.
And of course, that wasn't just your mother being supportive in a marriage. That was your mother's profession as well. She was an editor, wasn't she?
Well, she was his editor. She was actually, when she was a professional publisher, she was in rights sales and she did some sort of various bits of work around the industry. But yes, I mean, by any measure, she was his editor of first resort.
Well, how then do you keep how do you keep George Smiley consistent? Because remember talking to Owen Colfer, who had the very difficult job of writing out the Douglas Adams trilogy because the family asked him to take it on. And one of the challenges there has to be that there is a radio play, there is the original manuscript, there's a movie. So there's various different versions of the character that you would be familiar with. Which of the George Smileys do you have in mind?
So I have a mixture of them in mind because I feel like you have to, because we all inherit, as you say, the different Smileys, but they become one, And so when I was growing up, it was Alec Guinness, So to a certain extent, when I hear Smiley, I hear, I wonder if we could move to the adjoining room. I will have a better angle of view, and all that stuff. But I also have my dad, and Smiley was his character. He said he made up the perfect father. I think he made up the perfect father by asking himself what kind of dad he would be if he was the perfect father, as it were. So for me, it's also him. And so you have lots of voices, but in the end, it comes down to this thing I was saying earlier about tone. Smiley's understated, melancholy, a bit savage sometimes, a bit dry and cutting. And he's a man who understands the world in a fundamental way, and he's not always patient with people who don't.
He was also a brilliant break from the stereotype that Fleming had created. He was so countered the presumed type of the British spy.
Well, and again, it was all of them together. It was Alec Lemus kind of being drunk in an overcoat and miserable and not wanting to go back and spy, and it was the idea that you couldn't turn up in a fast car, seduce someone and then shoot someone and then your problems would go away. And actually, sort of when you look at the world, you feel that maybe some of our leaders feel that the second is more likely than the first, and we don't profit by that at all. It's very much a kind of real... you know, you feel like you could meet Smiley and you could know Smiley and you could be a bit like Smiley. And actually, when he teaches, when he goes through the process of doing tradecraft, you feel like you're learning a bit from him and maybe you could be a spy too, which is very attractive.
You've managed to thread the needle beautifully, because you, in your own preface to the book, you talk about how if you got critical acclaim but family rejection for the work, it would be the worst possible end result. You've managed to get both. You have Richard Osman saying it's wonderful. You have people like Ian Rankin saying it's wonderful. And as I understand it, the family like it too.
Yes, the family's happy. So that's, you know, that, as you say, that was my kind of first bar. But they were happy before. You know, I gave them the book very early on and said, you know, is this working for you? And they were happy. So then we moved on to the next bit of showing it to anybody else.
I know this is a difficult question to answer. Do you think your dad would like it?
So I know what he'd ask me. He'd say, do you know why you're doing this creatively? Because he was always concerned about, does this next project, does it stretch your craft? Does it teach you more about the art of writing, for himself as much as for anybody else? And I do know why. I wanted the apprenticeship with him. I wanted to sit at the levers of the Smiley machine and work out how the world works. I wanted to understand how it was all done and learn from it. And I wanted to spend time with him, you know. So it that at least I can answer. As to whether he'd like, I think he'd be amazed. I mean, he'd be kind of like, he'd be astonished by the idea that anybody would do it. And he didn't even like rereading his own book. So goodness knows how he'd feel rereading this one. But, you know, I think he'd be content.
I mentioned at the start that he, George Smiley, is, I think, technically one of the most beloved characters in Irish literature. This is because we claimed your father late in life, and you make reference to it in the actual dedication to the book, because you dedicated it to two people. You dedicated it to John Le Carré, who is described as a novelist. And you dedicated to David John Moore Cornwell, who is described as father, husband, brother, son, ping pong player, Francophile, lost boy, late life Irishman. How did he end up being a late life Irishman?
Well, the trick to it was that, as it turned out, he was always an Irishman, in the sense that his Irish grandmother gave him the right to claim an Irish citizenship. But what happened, he went to explore it, inevitably, like everybody else on this island, because of Brexit. But then when he got to Cork and he met the people and the archivist in the Skibbereen, this story has grown in the telling, but let us say that we'll have his version, that she opened this leather-bound black book with all the family names in it, and she found his name and threw wide her arms and said, welcome home. Now, the truth of that, perhaps...
Oh, don't wreck a good story with truth.
She has a desktop, but it doesn't matter, because the point is, that was the first time, I think, that he ever went somewhere and felt that he could belong there without having to do anything else other than show up. And it mattered to him on a really huge level. This was a man who was constantly looking, in a way, looking for somewhere to belong. And to be, as you say, to be claimed by Ireland, without kind of, you know, any kind of let or hindrance, just like, bang, you're in the book, you're in. That was something extraordinary. And, you know, that lady as well, the grandmother, was one of the few stable points in his life as a young child. So actually, he became really very emotionally wrapped up in it, and he wanted to explore it much more. And then, of course, he died. So, you know, that didn't happen. But it was he actually got his citizenship through in October of 2020, and then he died in December.
Is there a sadness to the work that you have to do? Because I assume it keeps the rawness of your father's death fresh if you're dealing with his characters and the sort of the world that he created. Or is it bittersweet?
I think it's bittersweet. So maybe it's not raw, but it's definitely there. And I mean, if you read the book, there's a certain amount of grief in it. That's one of the things writers do, is you take an emotion you can't handle and you put it on the page and somehow it gets better. But there are traces of my sorrow in the book. But then when I was writing it, I was seeing old friends. You know, George Smiley was my imaginary friend for years. You know, so it was like coming home a little bit. And then As I say, sitting in the chair, moving the levers of the smiley machine, because we all watch the same movies, we all have this idea that I'll kind of look round behind me and see him in the chair, kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, remember the semicolon. But it's not, that doesn't happen. But you do get a sense of, I am my father's son doing my father's work, you know, and you feel closer. And then at the end of the day, sometimes I'd be very sad and I wouldn't know why. And my wife would be kind of putting her head in her hands going, I think I do know why. You know, but for the most part, it was a very uplifting thing to do.
You talk about sitting in the chair and pulling the levers. The great thing, I assume, about Carla's Choice, which is the first of your time in the chair, is the fact that you have now so clearly claimed ownership of the world and the characters. Does it give you now a great sense of freedom? Are you looking forward to the next one?
I am looking forward to the next one. In a sense, freedom is one of the things I wanted to get away from, in that with a George Smiley story and a story into the circus, you have to colour inside the lines. In the writing that I do when I'm not doing this, I've never met two genres I didn't want to blow up and smash together. And, you know, and freedom is exactly what I have. And normally what happens when I write a book is that I have to work out whether the audience will get it, whether they'll understand what I'm trying to do and come with me. And here it's very different. We're all on the same track. And in a sense, they're waiting for it and they need me to deliver. So I don't need freedom. I feel that I can go on to the next one with a sense that the most difficult thing to some extent has already been achieved, in that people are over the hump that we all have about sequel disappointment syndrome. You know, we've all been to the movies or opened a book where we thought this is going to be great because it was something we loved, and then it didn't quite work for us. And I have that as much as anybody, so I really get it. You know, I understand why people are nervous about this book, but we seem to have got to the point now that enough people are saying, you know, actually, it's okay. You know, you can read it without fearing that moment.
Let us be clear. I realize this is humility on your part, but they're saying much more than that. I mean, the quote from Tony Parsons on the back of the book, every reader of John Le Carré will love this brilliant book. Nick, it has been lovely talking to you. That is Nick Harkaway. And the novel is Carla's Choice, and it is available anywhere you get your books.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.